In the English Mechanic, September 10, 1897, a correspondent to the Weekly Times and Echo is quoted. He had just returned from the Yukon. Early in June, 1897, he had seen a city pictured in the sky of Alaska. Not one of us could form the remotest idea in what part of the world this settlement could be. Some guessed Toronto, others Montreal, and one of us even suggested Pekin. But whether the city exists in some unknown world on the other side of the North Pole, or not, it is a fact that this wonderful mirage occurs from time to time yearly, and we were not the only ones who witnessed the spectacle. Therefore, it is evident that it must be the reflection of some place built by the hand of man. According to this correspondent, the mirage did not look like one of the cities named, but like some immense city of the past. In the New York Tribune, February 17, 1901, it is said that Indians of Alaska had told of an occasional appearance, as if of a city, suspended in the sky, and that a prospector, named Willoughby, having heard the stories, had investigated, in the year 1887, and had seen the spectacle. It is said that, having several times attempted to photograph the scene, Willoughby did finally at least show an alleged photograph of an aerial city. In Alaska, p. 140, Minor Bruce says that Willoughby, one of the early pioneers in Alaska, after whom Willoughby Island is named, had told him of the phenomenon, and that, early in 1899, he had accompanied Willoughby to the place over which the mirage was said to repeat. It seems that he saw nothing himself, but he quotes a member of the Duke d'Abruzzi's expedition to Mt. Elias, summer of 1897, Mr. C.W. Thornton, of Seattle, who saw the spectacle, and wrote it required no effort of the imagination to liken it to a city, but was so distinct that it required, instead, faith to believe that it was not in reality a city. Bruce publishes a reproduction of Willoughby's photograph, and says that the city was identified as Bristol, England. So definite, or so unmirage-like, is this reproduction, trees and many buildings shown in detail, that one supposes that the original was a photograph of a good-sized terrestrial city, perhaps Bristol, England. In Chapter 10, of his book, Wonders of Alaska, Alexander Badlam tries to explain. He publishes a reproduction of Willoughby's photograph, it is the same as Bruce's, except that all buildings are transposed, or are negative in positions. Badlam does not like to accuse Willoughby of fraud. His idea is that some unknown humorist had sold Willoughby a dry plate, picturing part of the city of Bristol. My own idea is that something of this kind did occur, and that this photograph, greatly involved in accounts of the repeating mirages, had nothing to do with the mirages. Badlam then tells of another photograph. He tells that two men, near the Muir Glacier, had, by means of a pen of quicksilver, seen a reflection of an unknown city somewhere, and that their idea was that it was at the bottom of the sea near the glacier, reflecting in the sky, and reflecting back to and from the quicksilver. That's complicated. A photographer named Tabor then announced that he had photographed this scene, as reflected in a pen of quicksilver. Badlam publishes a reproduction of Tabor's photograph, or alleged photograph. This time, for anybody who prefers to think that there is, somewhere in the sky of Alaska, a great, unknown city, we have a most agreeable photograph, exotic-looking city, a structure like a coliseum, and another prominent building like a mosque, and many indefinite, mirage-like buildings. I'd like to think this photograph genuine, myself, but I do conceive that Tabor could have taken it by photographing a panorama that he had painted. Badlam's explanation is that mirages of glaciers are common, in Alaska, and that they look architectural. Some years ago, I read 500 or 600 pounds of literature upon the Arctic, and I should say that far-projected mirages are not common in the Arctic, mere looming is common. Badlam publishes a photograph of a mirage of Muir Glacier. The looming points of ice do look gothic, but they are obviously only loomings, extending only short distances from primaries, with no detachment from primaries, and not reflecting in the sky. For the first identification of the Willoughby photograph as a photograph of part of the city of Bristol, see the New York Times, October 20, 1889. That this photograph was somebody's hoax seems to be acceptable. But it was not similar to the frequently reported scene in the sky of Alaska, according to descriptions. In the New York Times, October 31, 1889, is an account, by Mr. L.B. French, of Chicago, of the spectral representation, as he saw it, near M.T. Fairweather. We could see plainly houses, well-defined streets, and trees. Here and there rose tall spires over huge buildings, which appeared to be ancient mosques or cathedrals. It did not look like a modern city, more like an ancient European city. Jure. Roy. Met. SOC, 27-158. That every year, between June 21 and July 10, a phantom city appears in the sky, over a glacier in Alaska, that features of it had been recognized as buildings in the city of Bristol, England, so that the mirage was supposed to be a mirage of Bristol. It is said that for generations these repeating representations had been known to the Alaskan Indians, and that, in May, 1901, a scientific expedition from San Francisco would investigate. It is said that, except for slight changes, from year to year, the scene was always the same. Law Nature, 1901-1-303. That a number of scientists had set out from Victoria, B.C., to M.T. Fairweather, Alaska, to study a repeating mirage of a city in the sky, which had been reported by the Duke d'Abruzzi, who had seen it and had sketched it. 32. Night of December 7, 1904, 70 minutes, a fountain of light played upon the planet Mars. Professor Pickering, absolutely inexplicable, Sci America, 84-179. It may have been a geyser of messages. It may be translated someday. If it were expressed in imagery befitting the salutation by a planet to its dominant, it may be known someday as the most heroic oration in the literature of this geosystem. See Lowell's account in Popular Astronomy, 10-187. Here are published several of the values in a possible code of long flashes and short flashes. Lowell takes a supposed normality for unity, and records variations of 2/3, 1 1/3, and 1 1/2. If there be, at Flagstaff, Arizona, records of all the long flashes and short flashes that were seen, for 70 minutes, upon this night of December 7, 1900, it is either that the greetings of an island of space have been hopelessly addressed to a continental stole deity, or there will have to be the descent, upon Flagstaff, Arizona, by all the amateur champollions of this earth, to concentrate in one deafening buzz of attempted translation. It was at this time that Tesla announced that he had received, upon his wireless apparatus, vibrations that he attributed to the Martians. They were series of triplets. It is our expression that, during eclipses and oppositions and other notable celestial events, lunarians try to communicate with this earth, having a notion that at such times the astronomers of this earth may be more nearly alert. An eclipse of the moon, March 10 to 11, 1895. Not a cloud, no mist, electric flashes like lightning, reported from a ship upon the Atlantic, E.N.G. Mech, 61-100. During the eclipse of the Sunday, July 29, 1897, a strange image was taken on a sensitive plate, by Mr. L.E. Martindale, of St. Mary's, Ohio. It looks like a record of knotted lightning. See Photography, May 26, 1898. In the Bull. SOC. Astro. De France, 17-205, 315, 447, it is said that upon the 1st and the 3rd of March, 1903, a light like a little star, flashing intermittently, was seen by M. Ray, in Marseilles, and by Maurice Goury, in London, in the lunar crater Aristarchus. March 28, 1903, opposition of Mars. In Cosmos, NS, 49-259, M. Desmoulins writes, from Argentavi, that, upon August 9, 1903, at 11 p.m., moving from north to south, he saw a luminous object. The planet Venus was at primary greatest brilliance upon August 13, 1903. In three respects it was like other objects that have been observed upon this Earth at times of the nearest approach of Venus. It was a red object, it appeared only in a local sky, and it appeared in the time of the visibility of Venus. With M. Desmoulins were four persons, one of whom had field glasses. The object was watched 20 minutes, during which time it traveled a distance estimated at 5 or 6 kilometers. It looked like a light suspended from a balloon, but, through glasses, no outline of a balloon could be seen, and there were no reflections of light as if from the opaque body of a balloon. It was a red body, with greatest luminosity in its nucleus. The editor of Cosmos writes that, according to other correspondence, this object had been seen, at 11 p.m., July 19 and 26, at Chatoug. Argentavi and Chatoug are 4 or 5 miles apart, and both are about 5 miles from Paris. All three of these dates were Sundays, and even though nothing like a balloon had been seen through glasses, one naturally supposes that somebody near Paris had been amusing himself sending up fire balloons, Sunday evenings. The one great resistance to all that is known as progress is what one naturally supposes. In the English Mechanic, 81-220, Arthur Mee writes that several persons, in the neighborhood of Cardiff, had, upon the night of March 29, 1905, seen in the sky, an appearance like a vertical beam of light, which was not due, they say, to a searchlight, or any such cause. There were other observations, and they remind us of the observations by Noble and Bradgate, August 28-29, 1883, then upon an object that cast a light like a searchlight, this time an association between a light like a searchlight, and a luminosity of definite form. In the Cambrian Natural Observer, 1905-32, are several accounts of a more definite-looking appearance that was seen, this night, in the sky of Wales like a long cluster of stars, obscured by a thin film or mist. It was seen at the time of the visibility of Venus, then an evening star about 10 p.m. It grew brighter, and for about half an hour looked like an incandescent light. It was a conspicuous and definite object, according to another description like an iron bar, heated to an orange-colored glow, and suspended vertically.